And we hope to be talking shortly with Fred Jerome, who is the author of several books, and very important ones, about particularly focused on Albert Einstein and his views on racism in the United States, and, of course, his own political troubles called the Einstein File, in which J. Edgar Hoover made it his personal business to try to harm, undermine the life of Albert Einstein. Meanwhile, of course, Einstein being the most important scientist on the earth, but Hoover being a small, narrow bigot, thought it was his job to spoil everything. But most importantly for our interview that's coming up here is that Fred Jerome is the author of Einstein on Israel and Zionism. It's a large book, years of correspondence between with notes by Mr. Jerome on Einstein's continuing interest in the issue of not just the issue of Zionism and the establishment of the State of Israel, but the also the struggle against anti-Semitism and how to wage it. And he was engaged, of course, with the best minds of his generation, and everyone would benefit from reading that. Now, and today we just the references that Fred Jerome has written an article for The Link, which is you will find at AMEU.org. AMEU stands for Americans for Middle East Understanding. And it has an excellent introduction by this is a feature piece. It's introduced by John Mahoney, their executive director. It is a long, thoughtful piece about this event and how it is looked at historically. That is the death of Count Bernadotte. Anyone who's done the most superficial attempt to understand the issue of Israel and the Palestinians will have encountered the name Bernadotte. He was assassinated on September 17, 1948. He was the United Nations mediator. One of the things you learn in the article by Fred Jerome is that since his assassination, they no longer use the word mediator. But we are joined now by Fred Jerome. Are you there, sir?
Hi, Phil. Yes, I am.
Well, thank you very much. You've really written a most thoughtful piece, quite interesting. And I was just mentioning it's at The Link. And that's at AMEU.org. That's the Americans for Middle East Understanding. It has a nice introduction by John Mahoney, the executive director of Americans for Middle East Understanding. And I want to start where he did. He says that there is a plaque at the United Nations building in New York City. And it reads, "In memory of Count Folk Bernadotte of Sweden, United Nations mediator on Palestine, a disciple of peace, a great internationalist and humanitarian, a devoted and courageous servant of the United Nations, who was assassinated in Jerusalem on 17 September 1948 while serving the United Nations and the cause of peace in Palestine." And then Mr. Mahoney says, "Assassinated? By whom? And why? Right. Why should anyone kill a UN mediator? More intriguingly, why would any of this information be omitted from the plaque?" Fred Jerome observes, "The answer to these questions are so critical for our understanding of the arc of modern history that they bear repetition." Wow. It is. You've really tackled something here. So I guess where would you like to start with this? Assassinated by whom, or why we should rake this up? You also have a nice quote from Henry James about digging into things, even though it may be unpleasant.
Right. Well, there's so many places you could start, and I love the quote by Henry James, but I think that the more, maybe the given the time limitations, I should mention that the title of the piece that I did, and it's in the link. You can get it online by
Kill
going
Bernadotte.
To. It's called Kill Bernadotte.
I left that.
You Google AMEU, the link, mm-hmm. you'll come up with this. The link is the name of the magazine that they put out every 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the current issue is devoted to this particular article. When I told people I was working on a piece called Kill Bernadotte, and after it was printed, I said the piece is called Kill Bernadotte. Virtually every person I told said, "Who is that?"
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I found anybody who remembered or knew who Bernadotte was. And yet, when he was assassinated in 1948, September 17th, 1948, it was a banner headline across the front page of the New York Times. It said, "Bernadotte slain in Jerusalem, killers called, quote, Jewish irregulars, unquote. Security Council will act today." It was across the top of the front page of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were several other stories. There was a picture of Count Bernadotte and so on. So it's just interesting that it's been 70 years, but it's totally erased from history as most people know it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I should go from there into telling you a little bit who Bernadotte was.
Yeah.
In case there's anybody in Canada who doesn't know.
Well, you start off... you demonstrate he was a humanitarian, and you speak of people whose lives he saved.
Yes. He was actually the grandson of the King of Sweden, which doesn't really mean very much, given especially that by the time he was born in the end of the 19th century, Sweden wasn't much of a royal power anymore. But... he lived a very comfortable life most of his early years and so on. And then in 1945, at the end of the war, World War II, Sweden had been neutral during World War II, which meant they had relations with the Germans and the Americans and the Russians and so on. They decided that it was pretty clear that the Allies were going to win the war. The Germans were going to lose, given the way the battles were going, and the Swedish government decided they better do something to get their neutrality over to the side of the Allies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they organized this campaign to get people released from the German concentration camps, because Bernadotte, who was there by that time the head of the Swedish Red Cross, went to meet with the Germans, and which he could do because Sweden was neutral, and got them to agree to released thousands, maybe 30,000 to 40,000 prisoners from the concentration camps early, which probably saved a lot of their lives because they weren't killed. And he organized this thing called the White Bus Crusade, and they had ambulances and trucks and buses, and so on. They went to pick up all of these prisoners. So, to a limited extent, this made him a fairly well-known humanitarian, and if you had been one of those prisoners, or if your family was in the concentration camp, or mm-hmm. somebody you knew Bernadotte's name because he was the one who was the organizer of the White Bus rescue mission.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, that was in 1945, and then we skip up to 1947. And 1948, when the first war in the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Jews, the State of Israel had not yet been declared, so he said that the Jews and the Palestinians had the first war, 1947-1948. And it came about when the United Nations voted to partition Palestine, your listeners will know that in 1947, in November of 1947, there was a vote in the United Nations, and it overwhelmingly voted to divide Palestine, which had been a British protectorate after a British mandate, anyway, after World War One, and they gave 55% of Palestine to the Jews, even though they were only one-third of the population, and the rest of it to the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that led to a lot of protests as you can imagine, by the Arabs. They called a three-day general strike, and it turned into a war easily enough. The Jews themselves were not terribly happy about it because they wanted all of the Palestine, but they accepted it because it was the first step for them. Mm-hmm. So that war, the 47-48 Arab-Jewish war, which became, as the state of Palestine was declared right in the middle of that, became the first Arab-Israeli war.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, the United Nations decided that they would send a mediator to help create peace, bring about peace in that war.
Blessed are
the
peacemakers.
They selected was Count Bernadotte, who was, because of his humanitarian work in getting people released from the concentration camps, the White Bus Crusade, was known as a humanitarian. And so mm-hmm. they sent him to represent the UN as the first, and the mediator is the term that they chose for Bernadotte, and he became the first UN mediator sent to the Middle East to bring about peace.
Uh-huh. And he turned to somebody rather significant.
I don't know how much I should go on without getting some kind of feedback, but yeah. Tell me if you want me to stop.
Yeah. Well, actually, I wanted to add a name, because he turned to a famous American, or one who became famous, that is Ralph Bunche.
Exactly. And because even though he was known as the humanitarian in the UN, and he was a neutral and so on, and he was a friend of Trigvi Lee, who was the first General Secretary of the United Nations, Secretary General of the United Nations. He didn't really know very much about the Middle East, Bernadotte. So mm-hmm. Trigvi Lee called up Ralph Bunche, who worked for the United Nations, and within a year and a half, he became the first person of color to win the Nobel Peace Prize. He was an African American diplomat. Mm-hmm. who had been involved in a lot of political activity in the United States, mostly sort of left of center, and then had started to work for the United Nations
mm-hmm.
and knew a great deal about the Middle East. So Trigvi Lee called him up and asked him if he would go to the Middle East and meet Bernadotte and help him out just for a little while,
uh-huh.
basically because he knew that Bernadotte really didn't know very much about the Middle East, and Ralph Bunche did.
Yeah. Well, and so... And that really, as in this story of the assassination, that becomes kind of an important factor, particularly in retrospect. But, well, so what was Bernadotte doing? What were the physical circumstances? I'll pose it this way. Why did somebody think that they should kill him? I don't understand. A man is a mediator. Why did they target him, and who did that?
That really is the crucial part of this story. The fact that he was assassinated by the Israelis, and I'll come to more detail about that in a minute, at the start of the State of Israel, to a great extent, the State of Israel began with an assassination, not to mention taking the land that belonged to the Arabs and just so stealing it, and then burning down houses and driving Arabs out, but it began with an assassination of Bernadotte, because in attempting to make peace in this war, Bernadotte, with the help of Ralph Bunche, came up with a plan which would basically have divided the country, but given the Israelis some part and given the Palestinians some part, and then that the city of Jerusalem was going to be an international city under UN control. And basically the Israelis did not like that. They wanted everything. They wanted everything. They especially mm-hmm. wanted Jerusalem. And they vowed that they were going to get rid of this guy because he was going to take Jerusalem and make it an international city.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that Bernadotte and Ralph Bunche proposed was that the Palestinians who had been driven out of their homes by the Israeli troops, and we're talking now about hundreds of thousands of Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, the Israelis said, oh, they left by themselves. They left because their leaders told them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But years, maybe 10 years later, it came out, and the Israeli new historians, so it's not Palestinian historians, but Israeli historians, discovered and began writing about how the Israelis had driven out the Palestinians, bombed their homes, and so on. And if I just, if you don't mind, I could just read you one report from the New York Times about what the Israelis were doing to the Palestinian villages.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it now? Oh, here's an account. This was a month before Bernadotte went to Palestine. And it was only one of many accounts, but this is in the village of Sasa. And that in April 16, 1948, the Times reported, a large unit of Jewish troops entered the village of Sasa and began attaching TNT to the houses. Commander Moshe Kalman's troops took the main street of the village and systematically blew up one house after another while families were still sleeping inside. Quote, in the end, the sky prized open, unquote, recalled Kalman poetically, as a third of the village was blasted into the air. Quote, we left behind 35 demolished houses and 60 to 80 bodies. And many of whom were children, by the way. But in any case, that's just one example of what was happening in Palestine. And there's many more you can read about. But Bernadotte's proposal, Bernadotte and Bunch, because actually these proposals were probably written by Bunch, but it doesn't matter. Bernadotte's proposal was that Palestinians who had left their homes should be allowed to come back. And if they didn't want to come back, they should be paid for the homes that had been taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, of course, a proposal that the Israelis absolutely refused to accept. Mm-hmm. And since then, it has been adopted by the United Nations as the UN policy and UN resolutions, and of course, the Israelis the Israelis still refuse to accept it, have never accepted it, and would never allow Palestinians to return home, even though
resolution.
The world are allowed to, quote, return home anytime they want.
The famous resolution 194.
So because Bernadotte and Bunch proposed that Palestinians be allowed to return home or be paid for their houses, and because they proposed that Jerusalem should be an international city, the Israelis decided to kill him, and they did.
Yeah.
And the story of the assassination of Bernadotte by the Stern Gang, which was an Israeli terrorist organization from 1940 on until 47, 48, is what happened in this, is what the article is about.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that not just the assassination, although the assassination was openly just murder. I mean, they took guys with machine guns and went over to the car where Bernadotte was sitting, and one of them fired 6 bullets into his head. Mm-hmm. It was also an attempt to assassinate Ralph Bunch, who generally sat next to Bernadotte, and they rode together. They'd become friends in the course of this period of time in Palestine. And they took the car together and they rode together. And just by coincidence, this particular morning, Ralph Bunch was delayed and did not get to the car, so he was going to take a plane and meet Bernadotte later on. And there was somebody else sitting next to Bernadotte in the middle of the car. Mm-hmm. Of course, you couldn't see from the outside who it was because Bernadotte was by the window. So they fired 6 bullets into Bernadotte and 18 bullets into the man sitting next to him, whom they thought was Ralph Bunch.
Andre Sirot.
In any case, that's the story.
Amazing.
The rest of the story is that everybody knew who did it. It was not a secret.
No one was charged.
The names of the four
no one was captured.
The hit squad, so to speak, the four gunmen, were known. Not a single one was ever arrested. Not a single one was charged, let alone being brought to trial.
Well.
And the actual trigger man became a friend of Ben-Gurion, the Israeli prime minister, and actually became his bodyguard in later years. So it's not simply that it happened. It's not simply just that this group, the Stern Gang, committed this crime. It's that it was basically approved of by the Israeli government.
Yeah. No, it had to have been, given what happened, no investigation.
Hold on a second. Yes. I can't hear you now. Try again.
Ah, we're speaking to Fred Jerome.
No. That's what I was afraid of, just falling.
Can you hear me now, Fred? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, Fred? Hello? Are you speaking to Fred Jerome? We can hear Fred.
I think I'm not. It's not going to work because I can't.
He's having trouble here. The question is, I'm going to ask Fred if he hears me. Is there was a TV show where the people involved in this incident appeared many years later, 1991. It was called "This Is Your Life."
On the other phone number.
Yeah, we're going to try the other number, I guess.
Okay.
Can you hear me? I think I he heard me. Did he? We're going to try the other number. We're good. That gives me a chance to talk. I love to do that anyway. Taylor, by the way, you can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm. The point is this, that at the tag end of the article by Fred Jerome, and it's in the link, there was a TV show called This Is Your Life in 1991. They had those who participated in the assassination of Bernadotte. And it wasn't, oh, how could you? It was, tell us all about it, which they did, apparently with relish. Nobody had any qualms about what they had done. But a detail that I want him to speak to, and I'm going to tell our listeners, is that one of the individuals said, well, we didn't intend to kill Surratt. We were looking for the Negro, which is a kind of an interesting distinction. He didn't say we were looking for Ralph Bunche, and because he said he was the brain, so he was a thinker. They didn't attribute that leadership to him. And with any luck here, I think we're going to have Fred back. But that is what I was shocked by, was that they had attempted to, they were looking for Bunche, but also that they had no qualms. Fred, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Faintly.
Okay, well, faintly. I want to say quickly, these gentlemen who killed Bernadotte appeared on television, and they said that they had been, that they didn't intend to kill Surratt, they intended to kill a Bunche.
Well, it was, actually they said they intended to kill both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a live TV program in November of 1991 called This Is Your Life. That was the name of the program. Very popular program in Israel. And had all of these assassins on the air talking about how they didn't like, somehow they were going to kill both of them, but it was all sort of done very in a very lighthearted way with a lot of laughter from the audience in the studio.
Yes, they made fun of the way Bernadotte carried his baton, etc.
I'm sorry.
They actually seemed rather mocking. I understand that the woman who broadcast the threat to Bernadotte acknowledged that she had done that.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
At the end of the day, how is it that they conspire, basically, the Security Council? They never returned to this subject. They lost a major representative. They asked him to do the job. He didn't volunteer. How does this go on without nothing on the plaque about who carried that out? And tie in Albert Einstein's view of this subject, will you?
I'm sorry, say again? Albert Einstein?
Yeah, Albert Einstein, he wrote in December 1948, and he was outraged by the conduct of the Stern people. Could you tell us about that?
Well, Menachem Begin, who was one of the leaders of the Irgun, which was the two terrorist groups, the Stern Gang and the Irgun, were basically the same. One was slightly a break-off of the other, was invited to come to this country in 1948 and meet with various political leaders and so on, including John F. Kennedy, who was then a congressman, and many others.
Mm-hmm.
And Einstein and a number of other people, Hannah Arendt and others, had a letter in the New York Times protesting the visit and urging people in this country not to meet with him because he was, in their words, his organization was a fascist organization, and he should not be given Yeah. I shouldn't have been invited, and I shouldn't meet with him.
Oh, and one last detail. The captain who was supposed to be providing security for Bernadotte said he actually knew who was doing it at the time, right? For 40 years. His name is Hillman, I believe.
I'm sorry?
His name was Hillman, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Fred, it's a brilliant article, Kill Bernadotte, and I hope people will go to the AMEU.org and read it.
They'll be happy to send copies if anybody wants a hard copy. It is online, and it's the same article, so you're welcome either way.
Very good. Well, you've done all this in the name of morality. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Fred Jerome. And do get those books, Einstein on Israel and Zionism. And we want to thank Bob Lovelace and Thomas Mountain. And you, our listeners, have been very patient today. It's a complicated exercise, but we got it all done. Taylor Report, see you next week.